I'm pleased in hour number one to welcome to the program the former chief information officer at Transportation. Dan Mintz is in studio with me, sir. Welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
This is the first time you've been on this show. You've been on the Federal Drive, and I think you were on the Daily Debrief with Chris and Amy once or twice. So thank you very much for coming in to be here in the studio with me. The reason I wanted to have you come in and talk to me today was I'm new on Twitter. And my handle on Twitter is frose, F-R-O-S-E 1500, in case anybody's Twittering and listening and wants to follow me or let me know they're out there so I can follow you, too. That'd be great. But I noticed that you were at this event at the Reagan Building yesterday, and you were it was technology-oriented. I remember one of the people that you talked about that you found particularly interesting was Linda Curitan.
Yes.
And anybody that thinks she's interesting, I'm on their team. So you were tweeting about some of the different speakers and so forth, and I thought it might be interesting to have you come in. Just talk about this event and some of the things that you were twittering about and that you took away from it. So start, if you could, with the little capsule about what was going on there and what drew you to this event.
The event, this is the 19th survey that has been done originally by ITAA, but they merged with a number of the other government nonprofits, and it's called Tech America now, where they go out and they survey CIOs around the government and ask them what their priorities are, what's important to them, what bothers them. This is particularly interesting because this also dealt with this transition time, both looking back over the 8 years where the President Bush's administration had done a lot of work with the president's management agenda, mm-hmm. and then looking forward to the Obama administration with this increased focus on the internet, you know, government 2.0, Twitter, and efforts like that.
Yeah.
The focus there, so one of the things was the focus was on security, which you would expect mm-hmm. in a project or in a group like this, both in terms of what is being done and isn't being done. There's a lot of argument going on in the security field between the focus on compliance, that is, making sure you meet standards that have been set up by OMB mm-hmm. And the National Institutes of Standards, NIST,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on security operationally.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a little bit of a dichotomy there. Sometimes it's hard to do both.
Yeah, talk about the difference between those two, because different people, I think, sometimes might have different perspectives on what the differences are.
Typically, the compliance issues are dealing with how well you're looking at security. So, for example, they may say, are you doing what's called certification and accreditation, which means checking the system?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing compliance, there might be a measurement. Have you done 80% or 90% or 95% of your CNAs? If you're focused on operational activities, you want to focus on, did it do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you've certified it or not, did it in fact do something relating to security? In a magic world, the world that no CIO in the federal government lives in, you can do both.
Uh-huh.
But in fact, you can't do both. It was interesting. Jackie Patillo, who was my deputy as the acting CIO at the Department of Transportation, in the first panel said, I'm now going to say something controversial. And so everyone paused. What is the controversial topic?
Uh-huh.
And she said, I'm going to take the stance that it's important sometimes to focus on one part of FISMA, the security standards. Coming from private industry, that is not very controversial.
Right.
But in the government, which tend to emphasize compliance, it was.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, recently, there's just this Monday, there was a release of what's called the Consensus Audit Guidelines, CAG. You always have to have an acronym.
Of course.
Which, in fact, I helped do some editing in, the goal being to prioritize the hundreds and hundreds of controls that NIST is focused on. This immediately caused a reaction. How could you ignore these other
mm-hmm.
controls that weren't in the report? So this is the dichotomy that you're faced with.
Mm-hmm. Now, you made some interesting observations, as I said, on Twitter, and then you sent me some bullets last night that I thought were also pretty incisive. Talk about what you walked away with, some of the big concepts, and then we'll dig into some of the nitty-gritty when we get along a little further.
Yeah, maybe I might make a quick mention about Twitter
okay.
itself. So it's interesting. I think the dividing line between, you know, there's always technology that everybody gets used to.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dividing line right now is between Facebook and Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I said, my wife told me a couple of weeks ago that she thought civilization as we know it was coming to an end. And the reason was her 81-year-old father had asked her to be his friend on Facebook.
I love that.
And so if that tells you basically everyone gets Facebook
uh-huh.
at that point. But many, many people don't get Twitter at all.
Yeah.
And what you use it for. So we'll give two practical examples. One is, whether this is practical or not, I'm here.
Yeah.
In fact, I Twittered it, and you tweeted back to me
yeah.
saying, would you come on and talk about it?
Uh-huh.
That interaction would never have occurred. I'm moderating a panel at Fosse, and we had to replace one of the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was faced with a dilemma. Who do I reach out to? And so what I did was I just Twittered it,
yeah.
which also updated my status on Facebook automatically.
Uh-huh.
And then I got close to a dozen responses with suggestions that day.
It's interesting. I had Chris Rasmussen on the show a while back, and we were talking about that very idea. And the power of the network, and your network obviously is powerful to be able to get you 12 responses in fairly short order to help you solve a problem that potentially, I mean, 5 years ago, if you had a cancellation, what is Fosse, a month from now?
Yes.
And you were trying to fill a slot a month before a thing, that could have been a very daunting prospect. And here you had 12 really good ideas in very short order with plenty of lead time.
Yes, and it's one of those things that you can't explain. You have to use it.
Mm-hmm.
When I was at the CIO at the department, I in fact started to Twitter then, not so much because it was clear to me what I'd use it for, but it was clear to me it was going to be an important technology, and I wouldn't figure it out unless I used it. And it's only been recently that I'm now starting to see practical examples.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, for the people that I follow, the people that I'm interested in their opinions, I will occasionally read through. I don't read all of the tweets, all the messages, but I'll skim through them and see comments on what they're looking at and what's important to
mm-hmm.
them.
The line of demarcation that you point out too, just real quickly, I think is interesting because it's happening in my house as well. My wife is a big Facebook fan now after not paying much attention to it for a long time. And I tried to explain Twitter to her the other night, and she said, what would you ever do with that?
And I gave you a real example
yeah.
that is obvious.
Yeah.
And there are many, many other examples. The IT community in the federal space, the career staff and political appointees and people in the contracting community, connect a lot through Facebook
mm-hmm.
and through these technologies. And the communications is very valuable. This kind of increased communications makes everybody smarter and helps solve problems, in my opinion.
We're starting to reach a point, I think, of critical mass where enough people get that, not just in the technology community in the government, but also in other areas of operation in the government, where I think it's a really encouraging sign.
You find that these kinds of technologies are used in emergencies and other situations like that to have greater communications. It's much easier to use them than the classical ways of
mm-hmm.
doing it. So it improves that. Getting back to the question about the meeting, my reaction, which I've continued to express, is there are just a lot of really good, intelligent, thoughtful people scattered around the community that it would be a good thing to try and harness a lot of that thought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's that, and maybe these technologies help do that. A lot of them don't participate in the public square enough,
yeah.
in my opinion, and they do really wonderful jobs. They're running, the last panel of the day, for example, had three CIOs who, between the three CIOs, were responsible for policy and or operations for $6 billion a year in IT spend. These people were running huge efforts, and they've gained a lot of experience, not just in technology, but how to move cultures,
mm-hmm.
because inevitably they're federations. They have matrix responsibilities. So they understand, they thought a lot about all these kinds of issues. So one of the things that I take away from these kinds of meetings is to certainly encourage this administration, look back in the last administration, how to use this talent.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I just am interested in your thoughts about something. Do you think that executives, federal executives, are underestimated in the broader IT community because of that? I mean, you point out something that I don't think a lot of people, especially in the broader IT community, think about. Is the fact that they're running these humongous operations and they're responsible for a tremendous amount of money.
I've commented, and I don't know if it would ever be practical. The world or the federal world would be better off if you were really able to do an exchange program of some sort. You know, I've been around the federal business all my life. I mean, I've been doing work for over 30 years in the Washington area, supporting off and on government business.
Mm-hmm.
But the almost 3 years I spent inside the government was completely different. And I was, no matter how much I knew, it's radically different to actually experience and understand the incredible difficulties a government executive faces that a private industry executive does not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more complicated environment. The goals are much less distinct. The stakeholders are contradictory and changeable.
Mm-hmm.
The laws and the regulatory oversight are limiting and get in the way. So not only do you have to define what it is you want to do, which is often difficult, but you have to overcome enormous cultural and human hurdles to get to the end of the story that don't exist in a private company.
That's a great place for us to take a break and come back and talk more about some of your observations. I know you're dying to get to them, and I want to let you get to them. Dan Mintz, former CIO at the Transportation Department, is my guest on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And my guest in studio is the former Chief Information Officer at the Transportation Department, Daniel Mintz. And we're talking about this event that you were at yesterday at the Reagan Building. And you had a number of very interesting observations about just kind of the CIO world and the technology world and the government in general. So talk about... I'm sure one of the things that was hit pretty heavily was security at this event.
Yeah, well, the security is always a big issue and the interesting thing about securing a lot of those kinds of implementation, there was sort of a contradictory theme going on. On one hand, the polling evidence indicated that in some ways the authority of the CIOs to accomplish these tasks was increasing. Because in years past, CIOs, there was a relatively significant minority percentage of CIOs that reported to the CFO within the organization.
Mm-hmm.
But in this survey, almost all the CIOs reported either to the secretary or the deputy secretary, where in fact the biggest increase is reporting to the deputy secretary in a department, which makes sense because that's sort of the operational officer.
Mm-hmm.
So in one sense, the authority level has gone up to be able to cause the implementation of these high profile activities. Yet in the same survey, one of the biggest concerns that the CIOs had was how they made decisions across the departments. Most of these departments are federations. There was one of the people that I worked with at the Department of Transportation would refer to the department as a holding company. So the point being, unlike a private company, we talked about private companies earlier, you can't just impose a decision. You often have to work out the details. Congress may have put walls around some of the flexibility in terms of controlling spend and mm-hmm. spending and things like that. So the governance process, which in a private company you talk about but not every day, is a very big topic in government. And the CIOs in general felt that was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this interesting contradiction relating to that. Another big topic that was talked about dealt with infrastructure
mm-hmm.
and consolidation and standards. Once again, there's clearly a discussion going on whether people realize it or not. On one hand, the general sense was it was important to do more consolidation, more consistency. That would help security.
Mm-hmm.
It would also help decrease costs. On the other hand, there was this phrase used that I noticed that said, One of the CIOs said we should remember that one size does not fit all, which is the excuse people use when they don't want to be told what to do.
Exactly.
And the question that immediately occurred to me when I read the sentence was, well, what doesn't it fit? And then, and that's, of course, one of the issues with standardization. The OMB, toward the end of the administration, the last administration, created an what's called an infrastructure line of business.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an effort to start creating standards that people would have to follow. The general consensus of the survey was that this needed to continue and be made more robust in this next administration.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges you have is political appointees, and I speak as a former political appointee, often come in because they want to make some kind of short-term policy impact, something that's visible when they're there. The kind of structural changes that the career CIOs worry about, that IT worries about, are long-term structural changes that require often years of focus.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you really have to decide, is it important for you to build a little house, or is it important for you to put another brick in the wall to help build this structure that's going to exist beyond you?
Mm-hmm.
So this was at least two of the things that were talked about.
All right. We've got to take one more quick break, and we'll come back and wrap it up in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Dan Mintz, former CIO at Transportation, and we'll be back to conclude in just a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Up on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, with Dan Mintz, the former CIO at Transportation. And what are you doing these days, Dan?
I'm trying to find meaning. I've been, as I put it, I've been dating.
Ah, okay.
I've been talking to companies. The interesting challenge, and this is true of, I think, anybody who has been in a fairly senior position in government, is they're often the best jobs they ever had. And the question is, you feel a need to try and achieve something that you can be as passionate about in the private sector. So I'm trying to find it. I'm sure I'm a pain in the neck to deal with right now because I'm looking for that magic place that I feel I can contribute.
One of the things that you told me that struck you about yesterday was the discussion about green. This was not a discussion that was really prominent, not only in the federal government, but in the IT community anywhere 5 or 10 years ago. Nobody was talking about green, and now it's everywhere.
Yeah, there are two interesting comments. In the last panel, this was a topic. Dave Bowen, who's the CIO at the FAA, talked about the fact that in many ways, the reason he doesn't bring it up all the time is he just regards it as good business. That is, he was already doing those things because it turns out you save money. It's the best way to approach technology implementation. But on the other hand, Michael Carlton at HHS pointed out something that was true also at the Department of Transportation with our data center when I was there. And that is, it's often advantageous to the government to negotiate these fixed price contracts to get the best price for the government. But when you have a fixed price contract, then the contractor who's providing the data center, there's no incentive to force the contractor to have a more green environment because you still have the same price.
Yeah.
When doing the environmentally positive thing often actually reduces the cost because you save energy.
Mm-hmm.
So the government's going to have to think about how to be creative in its contractual relationships so that doing environmentally good things is reflected in the contractual relationship.
All right, here's my dilemma. I have about 6 or 8 more questions that I want to talk to you about or topics I want to talk to you about, and I'm almost out of time. And so I want to ask you to come back in a couple of weeks or so, and we'll take this conversation up and continue it to the nth degree. Can you do that?
Glad to do it.
Unless you're finished dating by then
no.
You've been picked up by somebody who understands what they've gotten a hold of.
Now, part of the conditions of culminating on the dating process will be to allow me to participate in these kinds of forums.
That's fantastic. Dan Mintz, former Chief Information Officer at Transportation, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.